This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue to look ahead to Super Bowl 54. But I want to turn the attention a little bit to Major League Baseball again, and just a little bit, because it's interesting how two teams are playing out this post-scandal decision on a manager. Carlos Beltran, as we've talked about before, was hired to be the manager of the Mets. And he was hired, and there was an excitement about Beltran coming in to manage a Mets team that has got a lot of promise with Pete Alonso, a couple of young players, played well late last season, made a run towards the playoffs, didn't quite get there. But there is a lot of bright spots to this Mets team. Sure, they need some tweaks here or there. They need their GM to fill in some holes. But there is a lot to like with the Mets. And there was an excitement about Beltran and his ability to relate to the players and kind of get the best out of the players, if you will. Like, he was geared towards being a manager. Then the scandal hit. Then the Mets, who hired Beltran to run their team, felt like because of his involvement in being named in the investigation that he could no longer be the manager. In a very quick amount of time, they went and hired Luis Rojas, who is the son of Felipe Alou, one of the more likable managers in Major League Baseball. He had been with the Mets since 2007. He was a quality control manager, whatever that is, but he's been in the organization a while. He's gone up the ladder. He's been promoted. Baseball is in his blood. Now, listen, the Mets is an organization. If you got the guy, then hire the guy. I don't care how long it is. I don't care what the process is. If you feel like there's somebody in your organization that you can have the manager reins right now and you don't feel like you miss a beat, God bless you. Do it as soon as possible. But was this a rush job because spring training and pitchers and catchers report in a couple of weeks? Because if it is, somebody tell me what the Red Sox are doing. Because Red Sox don't seem to be any hurry right now to make sure they land the right guy. Did the Mets overreact to their situation? Meaning, my goodness, we didn't see it coming that we had to make a late decision on the fate of Carlos Beltran in our organization. But we better get it right, because we better make sure that we're keeping pace with the timeline of trying to capitalize on the talent we have to try to win a division. Or could they have waited and really, really found the right guy?
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again, don't get me wrong. I mean, if I said this with the Mets. If they find the right guy, hire him. I mean, if it's one interview, two interviews, and you feel comfortable, then hire that guy. But Alex Cora was let go by the Red Sox on the 14th. That was 10 days ago. And they're not in any rush to land a manager when pitchers and catchers report on February 12th.
I'm just wondering, since the Mets just hired Carlos Beltran, if they, you know, if Luis Rojas had already been interviewed, had gone through the whole process.
Possibly.
And maybe he was their second choice.
Possibly.
And once Carlos Beltran, once that whole thing fell through, they were like, well, let's just go. We already did all our due diligence with Luis Rojas. Let's just go get him. But it doesn't feel like, have the Red Sox even interviewed anybody?
Yeah, that's my question. I mean, what are the Red Sox doing? I mean, listen, again, pitchers and catchers report in, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean,
I know. A little over 3 weeks?
The Astros have retired a bunch of old managers. people who haven't managed in a long, long time. I mean, I'm talking about like Buck Showalter, Dusty Baker, guys of that ilk who haven't been, I mean, they've been out of the game for a couple of years, right?
Yeah. How's Craig Biggio's candidacy for that job?
Probably not good.
Yeah.
I don't even think he's being considered. Although there have been numerous Astro players. One of the jokes that was going around is that the Killer Bees all said that they would, you know, throw their hat in the ring and, you know, co-manage together to kind of put a Band-Aid on the situation.
I would not want a co-manager situation. Yeah. It sounds fun, but
or,
I don't,
you know,
there's too many.
Point
too many
one
heads.
In charge, and then the other two would help
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be better if there was like a hierarchy, like you yeah. do this, you do that. But
I don't know who
the guy.
Who they would put in charge. I mean, yeah. I guess, you know, I would say Berkman's low man on the total, or maybe you put Berkman on top since he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, maybe so. Right, yeah. Right.
Biggio and Bagwell that. Already got the jacket.
Do
Berkman,
that.
Why don't you go? You do this. We already got our ups.
So they got the Rojas hiring in New York, and then they get the Eli Manning press conference today.
Yeah.
So
busy day in New York.
Busy
it's
time
place
in
to
New
be.
York City. What do you think Eli's gonna? Is Eli gonna?
Is there an over under on whether or not he's gonna cry?
I was wondering about that. Like, is this going to be emotional, or is this a business thing where, you know, because remember Peyton's was kind of emotional.
Yeah, it was.
You know, you're talking
well,
about.
Well, you got to wait for that trigger word. It
right.
happens all in every yeah. press conference. There's that trigger word that, you know, just sets them off where maybe it's they say family. I mean, I'm thinking back like most recently because it always surprised me when actors get emotional. Especially when they know an award is coming. I'm talking about when Tom Hanks was receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award for the
right.
Golden Globes.
Sure.
He knew months in advance that he was getting that. And then he's standing up in front of everyone, and he's being his normal Tom Hanks self. And then as soon as he looked down at his family and started talking about his family, he chokes up.
Yeah.
So it's got to be – there's got to be some sort of trigger word for Eli. Or maybe not. I mean – a lot of times he's always looked emotionless a lot of times.
Yeah. I wonder if he's just going to be like, God, it's been great, but I knew this day was coming eventually. I mean, like when you're 36, 37, you're probably thinking I'm getting out of this soon.
Does he make reference like kind of planned on doing it in September?
Yeah. But. I was actually, you know, I was kind of hoping I'd be a little bit longer, but the organization had different plans. But, I mean, think about, like, you know, a lot's been made, of course, about Peyton because he's a lot more open, right? He's
yeah.
he's a lot more, like, and Eli, don't get me wrong, Eli's no hermit. I mean, he's done his share of public talking, and he's a very a generous person with his money and things like that. And by all accounts, he's been an extreme gentleman
yeah,
in the working in New York City.
He was Walter Payton Man of the Year, right?
I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was.
I think he was. I think he had the patch.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he was. But if you're when you come from that family, like when your father is Archie Manning, and he's one of the most revered college football players in the Southeastern Conference, right? Where there is an Archie Manning road in Oxford that you go 18 miles an hour on because that was his number. And you come from that family where his mother was the homecoming queen and Archie was the starting quarterback. And it's almost like a storybook type of Americana family. And then you decide to go there when Peyton didn't go there. When Peyton chose his own path and went to Tennessee and built his college legacy there, Eli chose to go to Ole Miss. And be a Manning at Ole Miss and all of the comparisons that were going to come and was successful enough at that where going off to the NFL, it was, you know, becoming the top pick in the NFL was the sure thing. How they orchestrated going to the Giants, I know that was controversial at the time, but it worked out. And it worked out for both parties because Phillip Rivers ended up on the other end. Who knows if Eli Manning ever has a title with those Chargers? I don't know. I don't know if he does something more, maybe beats the Patriots in 2007, but we'll see. But whatever.
No, I mean, to a lot of San Diegan Charger fans, not the LA Charger fans, because we know there
right.
aren't any, but to a lot of the San Diegan Charger fans, they feel they got burned by Manning's twice.
Sure.
Yeah, they definitely got burned by Eli when Eli
right.
just said, I don't want to go out there. And you know, there was a... You know, because Chargers had the number one overall pick, but they also feel they got burned by Peyton. Not because, I mean, it wasn't their fault that Peyton went number one overall, but it was because of, you know, the outcome of that draft.
Oh, right.
They feel they got burned.
Yeah, because they got burned by Ryan Leaf.
Yeah. My mother-in-law, She hated the Mannings. She hated. She had to lump them all into one thing. She hated the whole Manning
clan. Well, also, Archie's not exactly innocent in the whole moving my getting my son to New York City. Like, so the three Mannings were actually instrumental in your Charger Charger situation.
Yeah, it worked out okay, though.
Did work out okay.
I mean, it did work out okay. Now we look back on it, and neither one of us have a quarterback, so that's all right.
That's right.
At least the Giants are, you know, they're headed in the right direction. I'm not sure where the Chargers go. We might be pulling in Tom Brady.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Maybe that's where we're headed.
Maybe that's where you're heading.
Pull in a 42-year-old quarterback. That's the way you do things.
Sell those PSLs on that new stadium.
Got to do it somehow.
My friend Benjamin Hockman had a really good tweet. There's a video going around that's showing the near, you know, the stadium as it's starting to take shape. He said, he goes, looks just as empty as it does when there'll be a game there.
Oh,
it's funny. That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny.
God, that's going to be so sad.
It is going to be sad. Those Charger games are going to be bad, man. 70-something thousand seat stadium. Nobody wants to go in there. Nobody wants to pay those tickets. Just sitting there. But if you've got Tom Brady, there's something to buy. There is, you know, there's going to be something to buy. But I'm interested in, I mean, again, I'm interested in Eli's press conference today. Interesting in how he puts it in perspective. I mean, sure, he's going to be asked about his career and the way it ended. It didn't end with him. I mean, look, it's better when you retire when people want you to stay. Okay. That's just naturally the better way to do it. When you say, no, I appreciate the love, but I have to go. It's my time. And they go, no, take two more years. Come on, you can do it. And you go, it feels right. I want to pursue other things. I'm done. And they go, no, but that's not what's happening here. The Giants are more than happy to say, thank you for everything. I hope you have a great life. Thanks for the two championships. The future is Daniel Jones, and the future isn't with you. And for him to then say, because, you know, it's not that he was badly treated. I'm not going to go down the road of by drafting Daniel Jones. The Giants needed to draft Daniel Jones, or they needed to draft a quarterback. You can make the argument about whether or not sixth overall was the right place to get it. Fine. I've heard those way too much this summer, but they needed a quarterback. But from the way it ended for him, without any, like, they didn't have a good team around him. They gave him a terrible, terrible offensive line at times. It just puttered into awfulness. I mean, just awfulness over the last couple of years. And he still said, I won't be caught with another uniform on, even if I can extend this thing a few more years before it's out of my system. You know, he just went, nope, I'm leaving. The Giants would rather me leave. I will leave, and I will leave wearing a Giants uniform.
Do you think he drops in, I hate you, Ben McAdoo?
Sure. I would. Absolutely. No reason to end that streak.
There was none.
None.
If it would be refreshing if he had a little Jordan Petty in him.
You know how I know it wasn't necessary to end the streak? I forgot who they were trying to work out in that game as a starting quarterback.
Wasn't it Geno Smith?
Was it Geno Smith? I think it was Geno Smith. I couldn't care less.
Someone who's not on the team.
That's right. There was no reason for that nonsense. Absolutely. Someone in that organization should have stopped that. Somebody should have said, you know what? I understand. We're not crossing offices over here. I'm not supposed to really get into your business, how you coach this team. But you know what? Under any circumstance, if Eli Manning is on the bench at the start of the game, I will fire you the second that ball is snapped by the opposing quarterback, by the opposite quarterback. The moment we take our first offensive snap without Eli under center, first time I do it, I will come down and fire you on the spot. I'll take over that headset and I'll call plays myself.
Yeah.
We're in a losing season. You not doing this to one of the greatest Giants of all time. People hated him for that. Well, all these debates whether the streak was worth it, but to Eli it was worth it. And it was not necessary.
Well, it was his.
It was his.
It was his. I mean, nobody else. I mean, it was the longest active streak going at that moment.
He wasn't playing on a broken ankle. The team wasn't good, and they wanted to see which direction they could go with somebody else. But that was ridiculous. But I would throw it out there if I was Eli. What do I get to lose? Bye. See you later.
Just need a little bit of that Michael Jordan pettiness.
What if Eli becomes a broadcaster and he's actually decent? Do you think he could? Do you think he's got that in him?
I don't know.
It's weird because I don't really see him in those roles.
I mean, even like I remember that one SportsCenter commercial when, you know, it's Archie is walking, getting a tour of the facilities, and Peyton and Eli are kind of kicking at each other.
Right.
Eli looks so uncomfortable.
He does.
Where Peyton, you're right. Peyton looks very comfortable being in front of. Yeah. Well, we know Peyton's. I mean, Peyton's like a modern day Terry Bradshaw when it comes to acting.
Yeah,
I hate to use that
really
comparison, but Terry's great in front of the camera.
He is really good, and Peyton's really good too.
Yeah,
poor Cooper. They told Cooper to just walk.
Who?
They said, "All right." He said, "Archie, Olivia, you walk ahead. Cooper, you don't do anything. You just walk. So the focus is going to be on your brothers. Okay, so you just try to look like you don't like nothing's going on."
So Cooper was in that commercial. I must have missed that.
Well, of course you did. That was the whole intent of the commercial, to make sure Cooper was not noticed whatsoever. By the way, that commercial is so funny. When Archie looks back and Peyton gives him the look like, what?
What? I didn't do anything.
That's the exact look I gave when me and my brother would get in fights.
Yep.
That's the exact look.
That's the exact look my kids give me now.
Exactly.
Eli's look like, what?
What?
I didn't touch him. I was like,
kicked him in the back.
Like, they're going to get smart because whenever they say, I didn't touch him, I said, I didn't say you did. Why are you guilty?
See, it would have been more funny if they were in a car afterwards and Archie was like, I'll pull this car over.
Yes.
I will pull this car over.
That would have been fantastic.
Don't you test me. I will pull this car over on the highway right now.
Or they get in the car and he's just like, you know what? When we get home, you two are grounded.
When you get home. That's still a funny ad. All right, it's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Again, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Coming up, Super Bowl history, what happened on this date in the big game. That's next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. It's one of my favorite segments to do this time of year, is kind of go back and remember Super Bowls in the past. On this date, sometimes we have to really cram them in because there'd be like three or four Super Bowls on a particular date. But in this particular date, on the 24th of January, there's only one. There's only one. And it was one we talked about earlier today. The San Francisco 49ers and the Cincinnati Bengals in 1982, Super Bowl 16 was on this date. It was a Super Bowl, interesting because... All right, so you had Joe Montana and Dwight Clark on one side, and you had the Cincinnati Bengals on the other. This was the first time since Super Bowl III that both of these teams, that the Super Bowl contained a game which neither team had been to the Super Bowl before. Because there had always been the Dolphins, the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Steelers, the Vikings, right? They was just a fluid run of teams that had been making Super Bowl appearances year in and year out, and this was the first breakaway from that. It wasn't going to be the Cowboys. It wasn't going to be somebody else, you know, some consistent team in the AFC. These were two brand new teams. But this was also one of the most watched Super Bowls in television history. Up until recently, where the numbers have really, really gone through the roof, for a good period of time, Super Bowl 16 with 85 million viewers really carried the day. You had MASH, you had Roots from the 70s that were on some of the most watched shows of all time, but then this Super Bowl would pop up. Now they're all Super Bowls. As we've gotten more and more Super Bowls, the numbers are crazy. But back then, this really carried, it really carried some weight. A lot of it, again, probably had to do with the rising star that was Joe Montana and the Niners and Dwight Clark. Maybe a lot of it just had to do with the fact that it was going to be indoors in a cold weather climate. I don't know why you'd watch that any more than anywhere else. But it was the first time the Super Bowl had gone to a cold weather climate. They went to the Pontiac Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan. And the weather did play a factor from a traffic standpoint and a logistical standpoint of fans getting to the stadium. There was icy roads. The Niners bus was almost late for some of the pregame stuff. If I was in the NFL at that time in 82, in the late 70s, early 80s, when we were planning Super Bowl sites, it would seem like, well, why not? Why not go to Michigan and play it in a dome, right? We're not being outdoors. We're going to be playing it inside the dome. But I wonder how much of that conversation after it was all done, did the NFL say, we're not doing that again until we figure it out. We're not doing that again. Like, again, it's one thing to say indoor temperature is beautiful and nice, but for the fans, where are they parking? Where are they going? Yeah. How are they getting there? If it snows and people can't get to the game, or if it's a real winter disaster and people can't get there, then what have we done to the Super Bowl?
Now, I know that New York was the first winter Super Bowl that they had in a long time, but I think they, like, New York was the safe choice. It was like, there could be a snowstorm, but, you know, chances are that it would be a lighter snow. They had to have been nervous with Minnesota.
Oh, sure. Yeah, even though it's, you know,
sub-zero temperatures, you're bringing people from all across the country, all across the globe, who don't ever experience that temperature. And probably were figuring out, okay, you know, they have a great underground tunnel network. We got to figure out a way to monopolize all this and keep people out of the air.
Yep. I mean, they had the traffic leading into the stadium. The Niners bus was caught in that. Yep. I mean, it's, you know, because of the temperatures. I mean, the temperatures were really bad, and it was. But at the same time, you sort of go, okay, wait, though. There are ways that we can sort of help manage this. There are ways we can do this so that dome stadiums in the north can have the Super Bowl. Look, I know the Super Bowl that was outdoors between the Broncos and the Seahawks wasn't affected by weather. It was cold, but we didn't get a snowstorm. It wasn't a blizzard. We didn't need the snow plow or anything like that. But I wonder if the NFL said, you know, we did it. We're not doing it again. Like, no more outdoor games in the cold weather. Like, we did it once. We showed we could do it, but we lucked out. We're not rolling that dice again. But I also think football fans in particular are accustomed to games that are played in bad weather. And you don't need perfect conditions for the Super Bowl. This is a sport that almost thrives on bad weather. It thrives on those moments when it's muddy or it's raining or it's cold or it's snowy or whatever. It almost lends itself to that. You know, baseball, I don't want the World Series played in the rain because you don't play baseball in the rain most of the time. You know, if a game is going to be called out in June under certain conditions, it should be called in the World Series under those same conditions. But football doesn't call off anything except for lightning. And if so, there's no lightning.
Which makes sense. I mean, nobody wants to be out there.
If it's a blizzard, you play in the blizzard. Yeah. And if the Super Bowl is played in the blizzard, I'm cool with that.
If you got a torrential downpour, I don't know what the weather's going to be. It's probably going to be beautiful, Miami, but there's a good chance it could be monsooning.
It could rain. It rained the one year, what was it, the Bears and the Colts?
Yeah.
When it was down in Miami, it rained then. So, you know.
I mean, what if it's just a torrential downpour?
Interesting about this game, too, again, Super Bowl 16 on this date in 1982, is Montana and the Niners struck early in this game. They went up 14-0. Montana had a one-yard run, and then he hit Earl Cooper for a touchdown. And then that was it as far as touchdowns went for this Niners team. After that, four field goals, and it was enough. The Bengals scored with, like, less than a minute remaining and tightened the score to a five-point deficit. But that was all she wrote. That was all she needed. And the Niners had their first championship. But I'll tell you, I mean, I was a little young back then for this Super Bowl, but I wonder how many people who were watching this and saw Montana, saw Clark, and saw Bill Walsh and kind of starting to implement something new and different. I wonder if people then said, this is going to be one of the greatest dynasties in football history. Much like the Patriots, where you could have seen the Patriots after their first Super Bowl win kind of go, you know what? They caught lightning in a bottle. God bless them. They're Super Bowl champs. Good luck going forward. But not anybody leaving New Orleans saying, that kid and that coach, that's going to be the greatest sports dynasty in the history of sports.
We all went into that game and came out of that game with two different feelings. We all knew that the Rams were going to win, and then we were shocked when the Rams didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was shocked. I knew the Patriots defense was good. I was shocked how controlled they kept the Rams from the end zone and kept the Rams from scoring.
But I mean, we thought for sure it was like, oh, the Rams are just going to roll tonight. Are you kidding me? The greatest show on turf?
Yeah.
Not a chance.
Yep. And so this Niners team, was it different in 82? Did they feel like this is going to be a force to be reckoned with for years to come? I mean, you and I were talking about it. The next year was the strike year, so that everything got kind of blown up and took down. But then Super Bowl 19, Super Bowl 21. Let's see. I'm trying to remember the other one they were in. Super Bowl 23, Super Bowl 24. And then Super Bowl 29.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And if you are new to the program, if you are just listening, maybe you listened to a day or two, and you're like, oh, I want to say this because they're dead wrong. Or, you know, they're right, whatever. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio.
They're not listening to the program if they think we're right.
No, that's true. That's true. Or at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. We'd love to hear from you. So the Super Bowl coming up, and you know it's going to be a food fest, absolute food fest. So you're going to need something because the next day you're going to be having to get up and go to work like everybody else in America that might have some upset stomach or some nausea. Nauseen will help you out with that because everybody overindulges, especially during the big game. So whatever the occasion, if you're overstuffed, Nauseen. It's quick dissolving chewable tablets, wild cherry flavor, helps relieve those upset stomachs and nausea. Because again, as we pointed out, next day is coming and everybody's got to go back to work.
Oof. I'm not looking forward to that.
No, me either.
That feeling, I mean, at least Nauseen will make it feel better, but that feeling, oh God, you don't even want to see food.
I know. Especially because, man, you're allowed to do that during the game.
Oh, so, yeah. This is the one day of the year. I guess in a way it kind of stinks that you have a New Year's resolution with the Super Bowl looming right on the corner. I mean, everyone should probably start the New Year's resolution after the Super Bowl.
Right. Yes, exactly.
You can't help. Or maybe this is if you were good and you started on the first, because I certainly am not. Maybe this is a cheat day. And you're like, you know, in your mind, I should start thinking of it this way. I got a cheat day coming.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, well, maybe they need to move the Super Bowl date.
They should move the Super Bowl date.
Maybe they should make it on a Saturday.
Yeah, just like that kid's petition. I can't remember the kid's name.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This kid's got a petition out there like where he's saying, let's get it to Saturday.
Yeah, let's move it to Saturday. He already has 20,000 signatures on change.org. I wonder if it's gone up.
What do you need? What do you need for it to be considered a serious enough petition to have, like, you go, oh, 3 million, 5 million, 2 million?
I don't know. I would think 20,000 is enough.
Yeah.
But you know what the problem is? It's been talked about for years.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've heard this conversation for a long time.
Yeah, this is nothing new. We've all been saying the Super Bowl needs to move.
I used to, you know, listen, getting up to go to school, getting up to go to college classes, getting up to go to work, whatever it is, it's always tough, especially if you live on the East Coast and the game is not late game. It's not a primetime game, but it's not really that. It's the game is late enough that you can enjoy the game, but then it also trickles into you're usually at either you're hosting or you're at somebody's house. You're eating a lot of food. There's a lot of cleanup and then you're just kind of tired, right? Cause you've eaten a lot and you're like, ugh. And then you go to bed and it all settles in. So maybe Saturday would be good, but kind of doubt it. That whole Super Bowl Sunday thing is kind of a big deal, kind of big. But good for the kid for at least trying to get it moved. Good for the kid. Hey, by the way, Nauseen, no chalky medicinal flavor or bitter aftertaste, non-drowsy, no aspirin. And again, available in the digestive section of most leading retailers, Nauseen, especially right in the wild cherry flavor. That's good.
Just to give you a quick update on the change.org.
Yes.
31,690.
Oh, it's climbing.
Coming up on 31,700.
All right. Now all we need is somebody to make it go real super viral. We might have 15 million people on
this. If they switch to the Saturday, I mean, I think Nauseen would be more effective.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Because, I mean, when you're at work, you get busy, you know, you'll probably forget to take some or, you know, do something to help you out. Get up and move around. At least on Sunday, you know. Getting up and moving around after you've binged eat. Is that a word? A binged eat?
Binge eating. Binge eating. Yeah.
After you've done that on Saturday, Nauseen could help you out on Saturday and Sunday to get kind of just, you know, I mean, it's really a food hangover.
That's right.
That's what happens on the day after the Super Bowl.
Oh, God. Super Bowl Sunday's great. What a holiday. What a fun time.
The unofficial. It's either that, if you're not going to switch it to Saturday, push the Super Bowl back so it's on President's Weekend.
That's not bad. That's actually not bad. Hold on.
Yeah, I know.
What if we get to the 17 games that the new collective bargaining wants, and we also have to, of course, throw in the bye and make the regular season 18 weeks? Does it push it enough into where they can just do it then? Because you're talking about the 9th. When is President's Day this year?
Isn't that usually like in the 20s somewhere?
Oh, forget it. Yeah, never mind. I was all excited for a second.
Yeah, maybe
I thought the new CBA and the new schedule, if they do pass that, could actually make that a reality, but apparently not.
Nah. But they should.
What we do is go to 18 games, add the bye to make it a 19 game regular season, and then let's just push this all the way to Selection Sunday for the NCAA tournament, and we can kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah. Why not? You can't have them compete though.
Why don't you? Yeah,
Selection Sunday tends to be in the evening. I mean, that's you can't have both.
That's true. I guess you can't.
Or would they do maybe Selection Sunday becomes a new halftime show?
That's right. You could have NBC could have Selection Sunday / Super Bowl Spectacular.
There you go.
Right. So yeah, but no.
I mean, even better, have the Super Bowl. Roll that right into the draft.
Roll that. Why not? Just push it all the way to April and go to the draft. Or hold the draft in February. Is that right?
Baseball players get 4 months off before they have to start training again. You know, football player, why do they get 6?
By the way, the Senior Bowl is going on in Mobile, Alabama this weekend. You know what? Listen, I know there are people who skip the Senior Bowl because they know they're a little bit more confident in their position. But let me just say this. I like the guys who go. I like the guys who go because there is, and I've heard this from, I've never been to the Senior Bowl, but I know so many people who have gone. One of the things you get to do at the Senior Bowl, not only play, but you get to talk. You get to talk to some people. It's not an official interview like at the Combine, but you do get a little bit of a little interaction. And player and GMs get to kind of see you and kind of see how you're interacting. And it's a way to sort of, if you're a guy that's been graded out to be a third round pick or a fourth round pick, you can go to the Senior Bowl and impress people with your work ethic, with the way you handle teammates, with the way you handle the media, with just the natural conversations that occur, that when you get to the Combine, you might be noticed by a number of GMs. Like, I remember that guy. I remember that offensive tackle at the Combine. I really want to talk to him because I got a pick coming up in the second round and I think this guy's a steal. A couple of those things. Now, listen, if I'm Joe Burrow, I go nowhere near this game. I mean, if I know my draft stock is in the top 10, maybe I don't go. It's to each his own. I totally get it. To each his own. But I think it is important for guys to really start establishing their brand. That's where they are right now, is build up your brand. And because the NCAA hasn't really fully jumped into that pool yet of image and likeness, this is where you start building your brand. Yeah, maybe when that thing is finally passed and the players are able to do that, you'll see more and more people like, well, I've done a very good job of making a name for myself in college off the field, right? I've got a good personality. You can see me in ads and stuff. Like, we don't get to see college kids do anything other than play football.
Right.
That's it.
Well, I mean, would you
talk in front of the media and play football?
Would you consider this to be an all-star game? I mean, it is, right?
Yeah, it is.
Why doesn't college football and NFL work together on this?
Yeah, I know.
And make it like a big all-star weekend of football?
That's a good point. Could they do that? That's a good point.
They could work together and come up with something, because most of these kids are going off to the NFL anyways.
I'm going to admit my ignorance on the business end of the Senior Bowl, like who really controls it, who's running it,
Reese's.
Who's got the Reese's, who's got the financial interest in it, obviously if the NFL were to do that, how much it would take, to buy it, if you will. So I don't know the politics of it, but just the idea of it, I think would be cool. I think that would be the marriage of the two, but I think also. I think if you're the NFL, you have to be careful in this regard. Until a player, because at the Combine, they sign away all that stuff, right? Like when they go to, if you go to the Combine and you get hurt, you're signing away all that stuff to participate in the Combine. You could do that with the Senior Bowl, right? You could say if you want to participate in the Senior Bowl, you're not holding the holders of this liable for the torn ACL that's going to have you miss 2 months of the season, six months of the season or whatever it is. Probably a year for a torn ACL, so it's a bad example. But you know what I mean. But I'm sure I kind of like the idea in theory without knowing the execution of how that would work out.
Yeah.
But I've seen the Senior Bowl. I don't watch like it's. I don't. The Senior Bowl is not my sit down watch thing. But I've seen so much of it in parts over the years that I think it's still an important thing. I think it allows players to showcase, but not so much on the field. You get whatever time you get on the field is great. But you're gonna impress people on your pro day. You're gonna impress people in your combine. You're gonna impress some people within your interview. But I also think it allows players in to be seen over a 3 or 4 day period, interacting with teammates and going through the motions, taking it seriously, taking practice seriously. And I think GMs have an eye for that. And I think there is a place for that, where super talented guys, you can get away with not going to that. But for those who are trying to get drafted higher and higher and higher, it's a place to really showcase your.
At the end of the day, what do all these kids want? They just want more tape.
They just want more tape.
That's all they want is just tape. And here's a perfect example of everyone plays. Everyone gets hopefully a shining moment, and it's televised. It's live. You're not having. I mean, for most of these kids, they come from schools where every game is televised. But for some, I was looking at some of the schools, like maybe Memphis. There's a kid, a running back out of Memphis.
Oh, right.
Antonio Gibson.
Yep.
You know, Memphis, it was probably local television, but on a national scale, maybe, somebody hasn't really seen him yet.
Yeah, the AEC isn't really ripping
maybe
through.
Maybe he hasn't been scouted by Seattle, because we know Seattle is desperate for a running back, because everyone keeps getting injured up there. They just have to keep going back into the, hey, you're retired, but we want you to play well. I mean, maybe he gets a look from them.
Remember draft day when Titus Howard went for the Texans? I mean, there was a lot of talk about how he impressed people in his workouts. Right afterwards, he was obviously a good offensive tackle at Alabama State, but it was also he impressed a lot of people. I mean, he became a first round pick for Houston, and some of these guys aren't going to do that, but they certainly can move from 5 to 3 to 2
right.
with certain workouts and certain showcasing of their skills in terms of taking their job seriously and all the things that you would do at a Senior Bowl combine type practice. But, Titus Howard, the story was that he was impressive, obviously, in school, but he was impressive in all these interviews, workouts, and anything that he touched while he was trying to get graded out. So that's going on in Mobile, Alabama.
I'm looking at some of these other quarterbacks I don't really know too well, like Anthony Gordon, Jordan Love.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I really don't know too much about them.
Right, sure.
Because, Anthony Love, I mean, they're more on the West Coast. We'd never see him play. And maybe it's a way for Shea Patterson to kind of shine a little bit more out of the Michigan umbrella.
Right. Right. So,
because it's Michigan.
Yeah. So, again, Mobile, Alabama Senior Bowl coming up this week. One of that and the Pro Bowl, the All Star game in the NHL.
So I said they got to get, they should just get together.
Get together. Put something together. Be kind of cool. It would
be. Maybe we should come to a time where all the All Stars are, all the All Star games are held on one weekend.
Maybe. Maybe, yeah. Oh, well, that'd be weird.
Yeah, you can't do baseball.
Too bad. But I'm sure that if a Senior Bowl person was listening, they would probably go, I don't think they understand how complicated that really is. I'll admit, I don't.
It's not
really
that
don't.
Complicated, I don't Senior know Bowl how, official.
I don't know what, what your paperwork says about owning the Senior Bowl. I don't. I'm just one of the fans that just, envisions a utopia and that and that's included
You're
in it.
You're telling me that the NFL doesn't like Reese's?
Yeah.
God. That's all I know. That's the only financial part I know about those Senior Bowls that is sponsored by Reese's.
I've just cut sugar out of my diet, and now I want a Reese's peanut butter cup. God.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. That's okay. Not bad. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
This is why I love Fridays, man. I love this song. I love this Foo Fighters song that we close out with every Friday for this hour.
Got it.
It's great. It's fantastic. So next week, Super Bowl 54 madness.
Yep.
In Miami.
So I guess we'll break down the game a little bit, right?
Yeah, you know,
we'll
you
talk
get
about
into that.
It.
Yeah, because what you're going to get next week, which I think is great, and there is no thing that Roger Goodell probably is going to, where we're waited with bated breath to see what the commissioner says, like we did last year, where everyone was like, ooh, what's he going to say about the Saints and Rams game, which was
nothing. What's he going to say this year?
What's this year's topic du jour leading into?
I read one Boston columnist who said, the NFL admitted that Deflategate was a mistake. Like, they're not going to talk about that ever again.
Never again. No, they won't. No, they won't. That's why Roger Goodell is a great commissioner from the standpoint of being an attorney. He knows when to talk and keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
He totally understands.
I mean, the grand scheme of things, I know we give him a lot of flack. He actually is a pretty decent commissioner.
He's pretty decent. Listen, commissioners are made to be hated, right? That's your job, right? You can't be Daniel Stern. But David Stern. But even when David Stern was was the commissioner, fan base has always had a problem with him.
Oh, yeah, he
did Seattle wrong. I'm telling you, he completely allowed Clay Bennett to buy that team and move him right out of Seattle without any care in the world that there wasn't going to be basketball in that great city. Couldn't have cared less. He let Vancouver just wither on the vine and said, fine, move to Memphis. I don't care. If you're not going to work for us, you're not going to work out, you're not going to work out. I don't have time for this silliness. But Goodell has done a very good job. He's grown the game to where it is. He's instituted some discipline. We nitpick on a lot of things because, of course, that's what you do when you're commissioner. But overall, pretty good.